you are hanging with the wrong crowd. And God is very clear that we should not hang with Christians, especially who are not wanting to be obedient, who are not wanting to really follow what God says, and if they're lazy. It's very interesting how Paul really lays this thing about laziness out, but those who are lazy and disobedient, and those who don't or won't be supportive of your commitment to Jesus Christ, and for good reasons. Because it's dangerous and it's unhealthy to the Christian life. Let me just read this from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We read it last week. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Now I want to just add to it in 34. Awake to righteousness. Do not sin. For some, meaning some Christians here, for some do not have the knowledge of God. Isn't that interesting that we could be a Christian and not have the knowledge of God? Not read, not figure it out, just got a little fire insurance, if you know what I mean. And so he says, awake and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. So let's take a moment of silent prayer between you and God. Let's ask for, first of all, for a teachable heart this morning, and then pray that God will allow his word to work in your heart. Let's pray. Father, work in our hearts this morning. Understand what your word is. Help us to take something home today that will make a change in our life. Lord, I thank you for the instructions that we're going through right now because they can be a little hard at times, and yet at the same time, it's very valuable for us to be able to hang with the people who have a commitment to Jesus Christ and have a knowledge of you versus those who don't. And Lord, you said it, we didn't. And so we thank you for those instructions. If you have a prayer request, just raise your hand and let me pray for you this morning. Father, we just pray this morning for those who have their hand up. Whatever it may be in their life, hear our cry, O Lord. You know our struggles and our stress, and we're going to leave it in your hands to do what you do best. And may you be glorified in that, in Jesus' name, amen. So I want to read our scriptures for today. It's a big long one, isn't it? Okay. So hopefully I won't mess it up. All right. Okay, so you're going to read it really loud because we don't have a lot of scripture here. But I didn't, you know what? I didn't want to confuse it. This is so important. I just want to do the one verse. But as for you, brethren,
do not grow weary in doing good.
Okay. Thank you. Man, do we need to hear that this morning? We are looking at verse 13 this morning. Do not grow weary in doing good. And when it has that, it infers good things. Growing weary means not losing your motivation to accomplish some valid goal. That's what the Bible dictionary says. Or to become discouraged or lose heart or give up in it. It's something that every Christian who does ministry experiences, right? There is a time when you begin to feel like, oh, what's the use? I have to confess that you probably can relate to me that I sometimes evaluate myself and I think to myself, what is the use? No one's listening. No one seems to care. It's not important to them, even though it has an eternal impact. Am I making any headway? Is God loving and approving of what I'm doing? Do you relate to any of that? There is just as much futility and frustration in doing the ministry for Christ as there is in any other form of work. Do we understand that? Except that God has given value to what you're doing when you're serving him. Because it's God's people and it's God's desire and we are to serve one another, Paul says in Galatians and in Romans. So when I remember my focus and what my focus should be, I can get back to work and walk out of the discouragement. But here is the most important point of the day. Our scripture is saying, if we serve people, we're really serving God. And you will eventually see results. That's why he says in Galatians 6 the same thing as our scripture this morning, and I want to read that, and I want you to kind of meditate on this as I read it. And let us not grow weary. Sounds similar, doesn't it? Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due seasons we will reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So we're supposed to do good things to all people, but especially those who are Christian. We really need each other to help us refocus when things get blurry for us, right? Because they do get blurry at times. I remember last year we went up to Alliance, Nebraska to Phil Hawkins' church and sat out in the yard to watch the eclipse because it was going straight over Alliance. And we got those sunglasses that everybody was handing out. You know, I think Grease Monkey had a bunch of them and that kind of thing. And so they passed them out. But as the eclipse began, for you who saw it, if you were watching, it began to get cooler out and cooler out. And at first, I didn't notice it. I just thought, man, it just seems to be getting a little colder. And it was almost like a frog being boiled in water. You know, they don't know it until they're boiled. And as the sun began to disappear, I started looking around, and Debbie says, man, do you have your jacket? And I said, man, I don't know. I went to the car and got my jacket, and she put it on, and it was getting colder. Finally, I thought to myself, in Acts 2, Peter's quoting Joel, and he says, and the sun shall be blotted out. And I thought, wow, man, this is a case where that is really true. Our mental vision that God has given us can become like the eclipse. We were in sunshine and moving around, and all of a sudden it started getting darker and darker, and all of a sudden the street lights came on. And I thought, whoa. And pretty soon it was dark, it was cold, and the sun was temporarily hidden for 12 minutes, I think is what it was. But you know, I even felt during the time when it was there, will it come back? And of course, we know the science is going to come back at 12 minutes. And it kind of reminded me of our marching orders that God has given each one of us. Well, we're to serve Christ, and pretty soon, it's almost as though the moon goes over the top of our focus, and our focus gets kind of goofed up, and pretty soon we're thinking, what in the world's going on? And here's what Paul says in Romans 13. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Pretty clear marching orders. So then I thought, well, okay, well, what are our marching orders? Well, I can use me, I can't use you. All right? I know what my marching orders are. I'm supposed to be a pastor, a discipler, a teacher, preacher, a leader. And I can't call yours up because I'm not talking to you personally, but whatever your gifting and your talents are. But I've known mine for a while. And it took a lot of honing. It took a lot of practice because they were pretty rough in the beginning. Still a little rough, I think. But how do I know my calling? Because if I wasn't a pastor, I'd do exactly the same thing. But it's still so easy to grow weary and to get cold, so to speak. And my focus becomes hidden or out of focus. And I need voices, everybody else, just like you need the voices of everybody else to talk back to you and to encourage you. And we have to ask the hard questions to each other. That's what the very next verse is going to be saying in 2 Thessalonians. We have to admonish and help each other. And so it says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Now, just as these kids want to run these stands so that they could support themselves to do the work of the ministry, they can get out of focus, especially on July 4th, right? It can get pretty cloudy and pretty blurry until the check comes. And then it's clear, and now they get to be supported. And the problem is when we lose, we give up, we give in, we get tired of it all, right? Now, am I the only one that has those feelings? Okay, you're pretty quiet this morning. You're kind of scaring me.
No!
Thank you. All right. Thank you, Bob. You know, and the problem is when we get out of focus and that kind of thing, our desire begins to want to sin, to try to bolster that up. Our body is telling us, you know what? Do something else. That stuff working for God isn't working. Years ago, one tired comedian wrote this, and I thought it was pretty clear in what we're talking about. He entitled this article, "Are You Tired?" And he said, the population of this country is 220 million, so this is quite a while back. All right, because this went about 350 million now. But he said, the population of this country is 220 million. 84 million are over 60 years of age, which leaves 136 million to do the work. People under 20 years of age total 95 million, which leaves 41 million to do the work. There are 22 million who are employed by the government, which leaves 19 million to do the work. 4 million are in the armed forces, which leaves 15 million to do the work. Deduct 14,800,000, the number in state and city offices, leaving 200,000 to do the work. There are 188,000 in hospitals and insane asylums. That leaves 12,000 people left to do the work. Now, it may interest you to know that there are 11,998 people in jail, and that leaves just two to carry the load, and that's you and me. And I'm getting tired of doing everything myself. Okay. When I thought about that, I had to laugh because, boy, we can go down that channel, can't we? In our life, it may look different, but we get down to the places like, oh, I'm the only one working. And so we do it all by ourselves in our attitude, and no one else seems to care. Well, you know what? That's hogwash. What we really are saying is no one seems to see what I see or concerned with what I'm concerned with. And of course they aren't, because we are all gifted differently. You see what your gift tells you to see. Other people don't have your gifting, so they don't see that. They see something different. So pretty soon, we're all out there by ourselves thinking we're the only ones doing work. In fact, I've caught myself sometimes saying to someone, you know, I think I'm the only one doing something. And I'm looking at them, and they're great servers. And I think, whoops, because my attitude slipped. So let me just ask you a couple questions. Did Jesus get discouraged? Well, let's think about that. He cried over Jerusalem. Remember, he looked over Jerusalem and cried. Jesus wept. He cried over Lazarus because Lazarus had been dead and he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. So it may have been Mary and Martha's attitude. I don't know. He cried in the garden and sweated asked his father, is there any way you could take this away from me? Because he knew he was going to die. And he said, not my will, but your will be done. Did Paul get discouraged? Of course. He says in 2 Corinthians 1, for we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of the trouble which came to us in Asia, which is now Turkey and part of Galatia. that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had a sentence of death in ourselves, here's the key, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Isn't that the key? We get our eyes off God, and we start getting goofed up. And here's the core of his discouragement. I want you to think about this, especially you who are doing ministries. This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me. Every church in Asia rejected Paul. Now let me remind you of who some of those people may be. Have you ever heard of the book of Ephesians? Yeah, Ephesus was part of that. What about Colossians? Yeah, that was part. Two of the most theologically straight books. And then most likely the Galatians, in one of his first letters, went out to the Galatians because they were already messing up. Man, can you imagine Paul being beat up and whipped and stoned and all these things that happened to him, only to lose them all in that part of the world? Everything he built felt like it was collapsing, and he went into despair, it says. But let me remind you, 2,000 years later, Christianity lives. And most of it is because of him. If I could get the worship team back up on stage, we're going to do communion this morning. I have a few more things to say. There's two stands over here, and there's two stands over there. If you're a visitor, we welcome you to join us. It's a celebration of Christ's death. Do you remember Elijah got discouraged? You know, I remember when I was in Israel, we stood on Mount Carmel, and there's this whole flat area on the south end of Mount Carmel. Just happened to be flat, and it was probably where Elijah called down fire on his sacrifice. Do you remember the story? 400 Baal prophets they cut themselves and danced and everything to try to get that. And then Elijah calls on the Lord. He pours water on his sacrifices and under a trench around the sacrifices, and fire came from heaven and consumed that. Now, you would think that'd give him a lot of energy, wouldn't you? And Jezebel says, I'm going to get Elijah and I'm going to kill him. And he runs. And he runs throughout Israel. And he finally comes to a cave. And you know, and God has to talk to him because he has a bad attitude. He has a sunken attitude. And when we serve in the ministry, we aren't the only ones suffering. Everybody in the ministry throughout the world suffers. You are alone. But let me just read what he says. Lord, they have killed your prophets, torn down your altars, and I alone am left. Have you ever felt that way? And they seek my life. But what does the divine response say to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Oh, you aren't the only one, Elijah. Thank you. But sometimes it feels like we're alone. We get off track. Is compassion fatigue? It's well-doer burnout. It happens at times when we suddenly wake up and realize we are tired. We're tired of giving. We're tired of doing. We're tired of serving. And the joy of service has gone out. Especially if nobody notices. And we might fear that it might be God that doesn't notice. All because our focus is on our own life instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. You hear that this morning? Isn't that what Paul said? That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Are you discouraged this morning? What are you focusing on? Are you focusing on your job? Are you focusing on the hail that came down in Brighton? What are you focusing on? Let me close with this. So what do we do? What is our takeaway? Number one, we have to keep our eyes on Christ rather than on our problems. Amen? Number two, we need to remind ourselves, like Elijah was reminded, we are not alone. We're in this together. And third, as we serve, we will eventually see the results, the fruit of our labor. That's what it says. And so, my friend, if you're discouraged today, go talk to somebody and let them encourage you and get you back on your feet so we can serve Christ, because outside of serving Christ, what is there really? We get to Christ, oh man, I did a good job of punching metal for 45 years. Doesn't sound right, does it? Oh, I ran my computer and I did a lot of stuff on my computer. I don't know, maybe that turned you on. When we have our eyes on Christ, discouraged or not, we're going to see results. Just as Paul saw the results, we're going to see the results. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for this little nugget, Lord, to remind us that when we start to get discouraged, we need to get our eyes back on you. We need to open up our Bible and read it, or get reminded again, or talk to someone, have them encourage us, or listen to some Christian music and yell out the words in the car. Whatever it takes, Lord. We thank you that you comfort us. That's what you say in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, that you comfort us. And Lord, we give you the praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. He is the God who raises the dead. And he could only do that through his son, Jesus Christ, by giving his life. And he said, he took up the bread that evening and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And let's remember him this morning. And then took the cup after supper and said, this is a cup which represents my blood. And often as you drink it, remember me. And let's remember him this morning. Thank you, O Lord, that you would sacrifice yourself for us. And Lord, help us to keep our eyes on you, because you suffered, all your apostles suffered, people throughout the ages have suffered. And Lord, we just thank you, thank you, thank you, that you're going to deliver us from this big mess down here. One day you're going to come and take us home with you. And we want to keep our eyes on that, Lord. We thank you for that. My heads are bowed. You might have come this morning and maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let me talk to you for a minute. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's standard, and that the wages of that sin is death, eternal death. But he goes on to say, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So my friend, if I'm talking to you this morning and today's the day that you want to ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, I'm going to say a little prayer and you can just follow that prayer and whisper it with me. And the prayer goes like this, dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and life and be the Lord of my life. I believe that you rose from the dead, just as that verse said, and because of it, you rose from the dead for me too. So come into my life and save me today. And may I live for you. I surrender my life to you. My heads are bowed. If you prayed that prayer this morning, minute, will you raise your hand up and put it back down? Let us know, and we'll begin to pray for you this morning. Anybody this morning? Father, we just thank you so much for your son, Jesus Christ. May he be glorified this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.